Hello, West Liberty. Today I'm joined with Anthony Salentino, or as I know him as Safety Sal. He's been working with West Liberty for 29 years, and he's here to talk about safety on campus. So, Sal, what are some of the ways that we can make our dorms just a little bit safer?
First and foremost, I think everybody currently does a great job. I know there's always room for improvement. Several years ago, one of the things I wanted to keep an eye on was who has access to the dorms besides the person living there. So we did a sting in the evening one year where we had an undercover cop come up just in normal clothes and see which dorms he could get into. And the reason why that's important, we're all taught in our life to make sure we hold the door for the next person coming in, and it's a habit we learn from birth. Mm-hmm. So it's something I strive on. You know, I always make sure I hold the door and teach my son the same. Having said that, when it comes to dorm life, that's one of the issues that scares people is who can get in a dorm and how. So the year we did that sting, this person was able to get in, we'll say, roughly half of the dorms just by walking behind somebody, and that person meant well. They'd hold the door, and that person got in. Mm-hmm. And what he did, he went around, put stickers on everywhere he was able to get before someone eventually said, "Hey, may I help you, and who are you here to see?" Mm-hmm. And that's where it stopped. And it was a concern because he was able to get on several of the floors, past, you know, the restrooms and several of the dorm rooms. So that made me right then, early in my career, realize that we have got to stress the importance of, it's called piggybacking. Try not to. I know it's a habit. I even do it myself. I try to eliminate myself from that. If I'm walking out of a dorm and I see somebody coming, it's hard for me not to just hold the door for them. So I try to avoid being around the door when someone's coming in. But that's one of the ways we really can crack down. I know even recently I've heard of a person getting into a dorm by the same reason. They follow the student in, "Excuse me, can you hold the door?" And, you know, that first thing you go into is sure. Mm-hmm. Just like you would at a department store. So the person holds the door, he's now in. That person goes his own way. So now you have a stranger in a dorm that can go anywhere, unless an RA, which most of them do a great job, are doing their job, such as may help you, you can't go there. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they have a system where they call, make sure that person's available, or you know, that way. But that's one of the main concerns we have, is the piggybacking, getting into a dorm.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to tell, like, who lives in there and who doesn't. So, like,
that's correct.
I usually, like, hold the door open for people, too. So, like, I have my own fault on that one.
Yeah, and I know you probably do, because I would myself. And what we try to tell somebody, if I live in XYZ dorm, mm-hmm. and I'm on the fourth floor, my buddy across the hall lives there, and he's coming behind me, we're not saying don't hold the door for Johnny, whoever, yeah. that you know lives there. But if you're walking into the dorm, like, on a Thursday night at 11 o'clock, and some guy comes behind you, a young, you know, student. Mm-hmm. "Excuse me, hey, hold it." And that's what people like yourself, myself, and everybody would have a tendency, "Yeah, let me hold that for you."
Yeah.
Then you're going to go in and you're going to go right to your room. You can care less where that person goes. So now you have a person in a room who may be upset at a guy or his ex-girlfriend and so forth, and then trouble could start. So that's one thing we've got to we do have training on our campus. We meet with our RAs every year, twice a year in the fall and the spring, just to go over this. We do go over that tip, and it's fresh early, but then week one, week two, you start forgetting that, and then you go back to the normal person that your parents raised you, which is hold the door for the person. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough thing to break. I know that.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to keep that in mind now.
Yes.
So we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back to the second part of the interview with fire safety.
Thank you.
So I'm back with Sal again, here to talk about fire safety. Now, for fire safety in the dorms, what would be the best way to, like, stop even electrical fires or anything like that?
We do have several codes that we have to follow. It's not just we at West Liberty. It's across universities, mostly. And they're set by the fire marshal. You know, a lot of people look at me like, "Why can't we, Sal?" And it's like, I'm just doing my job. And one of them are, we have two issues we have to really enforce, which is the normal refrigerator you're familiar with, the dorm refrigerators, yeah. and the microwaves. Because of their power usage, they have to go into the outlets. They can't go into these extension cords or these power strips. Those are the two items that must go into the wall outlets, which frees up. You are allowed to use the what they call the power strip which holds like 4, 5, 6 outlets. They can be used for your iPads, your laptops, your game systems and so forth, and even your curling irons and stuff. But we can't, what we see a lot is the microwaves going into that. Well, those strips aren't made to hold the usage of a microwave. So that's one thing we encourage is you have several outlets in the room. Set your room up first where your refrigerator microwave needs to go into an outlet. Then use the rest of the outlets to go ahead and plug a power strip in. That way you can hold your smaller usage items into those. Another thing we see is a lot of there's electric burner, especially this time of year, and they don't seem dangerous on an initial view of them. But keep in mind, you guys are college students, you got a lot on your mind. So you fall asleep at 7 o'clock at night because you've been up all night, and that thing's burning and burning. Then you get up and you go to class the next morning, so that thing's on 14, 16, 24 hours a day without being unplugged. Those things go hot and they overheat. And that's why we have to enforce these laws. We do have the fire marshal comes up with me yearly, and he has codes. The one code we have to enforce are the fire doors. If you look at a fire door, there are a typical door that has a label on the side, and that label tells you this is a fire door. It must be closed at all times. Having said that, we were blessed to have the fire marshal give his consent to, if you look at your dorm room and you go back to your dorm, each door closes by itself, and that's the reason behind that. And they have that label on it. This is a fire door. It must be closed. Well, most of you guys, because these rooms are somewhat small, you prop the door open while you're in there. Well, years ago, one of the fire marshals, because they have the authority having jurisdiction, they can do whatever. That fire marshal can act on his way under code. He can enforce what he believes is right. Mm-hmm. Well, each fire marshal sometimes have a different opinion. Well, at one time, this fire marshal did not want any of those dorm room doors open, meaning when you went in your room, that door shut behind you. Well, we then got the next fire marshal allowed. He said, you know what, I will allow those doors to be propped open as long as that person is in that room. He said, if I find out that you guys are propping your doors open and then leaving, going down the hall and leaving the door open, that rule will stop. So it's one of those examples where a few bad may ruin it for all the other people. But keep in mind why that's important. If there is a fire in your room and you run out and that door is propped open, that fire now, which if you had the fire door closed, will stay within that room. And that's what the fire door, it might be a 1 hour, 2 hour fire door. That's what that means. It'll stay within that room for about an hour before that door eventually gives way and the fire will spread. Well, by then you hope the fire department's there and doing their thing. But if that fire door is open, that fire is now spreading just seconds or minutes down to the hallway. Now everybody's trapped and so forth. So that's why we strongly encourage the fire door issue as well. And we see that throughout the campus, not just in our dorms, people propping fire doors open. And it's one of my biggest complaints and one of my everyday duties is get rid of those door plugs, door stops. And there's a reason behind that.
I know, like, we have an evacuation system. Mm-hmm. Now, usually when we have fire drills, everyone likes to shove through. Is there any ways that you can really have it where it's not doing that, or we just kind of got to deal with what we got to deal with?
When you say shove, what are you referring to?
Like when a fire alarm goes off, mm-hmm. usually we have 3 to 4 staircases in a room, and they can get quite crowded during a fire drill, if depending on the day, because I know weekends not many people are going to be up here.
Well, that's true. No, and that's the whole reason we do the fire drill, is to see where we can improve. There are codes. If you think of I'm just using an example, Beta Hall. If you think about their hallway, you may have an exit down the one north end and the south end. Then maybe one, like I know some of them have even one in the middle. That's 3 exits that people can go out. So you want to go out the nearest one. Now, keep in mind, in a fire, you never know where that is going to be. So that's why there's codes. You can't just have a big hallway and one exit. Mm-hmm. You're saying the opposite. You'd rather have a couple more, and that'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. Because the reason why there's 2 or 3 is so if the north end is blocked by the fire itself, you guys still have the middle and the south end to go out. And that's the best way. So, to answer your question, if that floor is full, nobody went home, that person on the north end is probably going to go down the north exit. The people in the middle is going to go down the middle exit. And the people on the south end should go down the south exit. Mm-hmm. Unless, again, it's blocked. And that's some of the things we try to do. We may get back to. We block on a lot of time when we do fire drill, we just pull the alarm, make sure everybody knows how to get out. They do get out and they go where they belong. One of the things we're going to start doing is maybe putting caution tape over a certain door as if pretend there's a fire down the north stairwell. does that person know, need to know, okay, I can't go down here, I need to go back down the other way. So there are, that's the reason behind, as far as the clutterness and crowded, it's anything that's a good thing, because we do have several exits. We have the required code.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the work you all do.
All right. Well, let's get back to the music on 91.5 WGLZ.